Hello, friends. You've made it to episode 11 of Ball Tales, the season finale. Will they, won't they? Ooh, they might. So fittingly, for the season finale, I've gone for the guest to end all guests, Mr. Charlie Webster. Charlie is a gentleman, a scholar, and I think it's fair to say a living legend of Cardiff comedy. Charlie won the Welsh Unsigned Stand-Up Award in 2015. He's one of my personal favourite acts. He's the comedian's comedian, and he knows the odd thing about football too. Here we go. Charlie Webster.
Hello.
It was over-enthusiastic, wasn't it? It was a bit much to
open it up. Just two men in a room talking.
Yeah, on a very sunny day. We're here to talk about the football. This is the last episode of the first series.
It's the last one.
Yeah.
This is meant to be a good one, then.
You're the headliner.
Yeah. Oh, cheeky little headline spot.
Yeah,
so it can't be. I can't dumb my arse here. No,
and there's a lot of important people listening to this one. Yeah,
at least 12 people from Scandinavia, of course.
Yeah. And you know, you want to get a gig on the podcast over there. So, yeah, this is your big break, really. This is your big chance. Feeling good? You feeling ready?
Yeah. Hit me the questions.
Questions, all right. What does football mean to you?
I don't know, a lot of things. It means, it means passion. It means, like, friendship.
Yeah.
It means, like, love of, like, my hometown. It means, like, beauty and awe in it. even the kits are great. The weather, it's British. I'm more talking about British football. The food as well.
Yeah.
Orientating the booze.
Or football food.
Yeah.
Like ground food.
Like ground food, yeah.
Like pies.
Like pies, chips, like gravy, you know, Bovril.
Yeah, proper football cuisine.
Yeah.
Wait, what is your hometown? I don't do any research on the guests. That's like
I support Woking FC.
Woking, okay.
Who are bad at football.
Yeah. But have they always been bad at football?
No. In the mid-90s, we were good. We won a few FA trophies and we did well in a few FA Cups.
Yeah.
And then since I've been regularly supporting them, my dad used to take me as a lad in the 90s. And then I used to go support them. I used to sell programmes for them.
Oh, really?
When I was about 15.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we have been shite for 20-odd years.
Oh, man.
So I haven't seen any glory in my 20 years of support.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe when we got relegated, which wasn't good, but when we got promoted back up. But
yeah.
For me, I was angry. I was too angry to take that as a win because we shouldn't have got relegated in the first place.
Still furious from the season before.
It's a bit like Aston Villa getting relegated now.
Yeah.
And then them going mental when they get promoted to the Premiership. You think, well, you know.
Yeah, Newcastle won their first trophy in like 40 years.
Yeah.
And it was the Championship.
Exactly. No one gives a fuck about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I support and always will, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's always been them. You never had any flirtation with anyone.
Not really. I kind of like clubs as a kid, but not really. Never really invested. My dad took me down to watch Crystal Palace.
All right, yeah.
Wimbledon. Wimbledon, when they used to share the same ground.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 90s, because my dad was friends with the club doctor in the pub.
That's great. Yeah, Wimbledon were quite good then, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
this is heyday Wimbledon.
So Dr. George took me down in his old Volvo, my dad.
Yeah.
And we watched the football and Vinnie Jones is there.
Oh my God.
I got all the names signed and F and the Cuckoo and Frank Clark. That was Nottingham Forest match. That was another time. And what was his name? John Fashion, who shook my hands.
Oh my God. I didn't realise I was with a celebrity.
That's
amazing.
That all happened. It has been just Woking.
Yeah,
Woking in England. Woking in England forever. Because once you have your club,
that's it.
You can't, like, there's no, you know, there's nothing else. You can't, it's like, I don't know, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, there's no going back. It's like
a horrible virus for life once you have it.
Yeah, my mate described it as having a son that you didn't sort of mean to have, but you want to do the right thing.
Yeah, because that's better than a virus. Like, a virus, you can't cut it out, you can't get rid of it, you can't shun it away.
You've just got to keep it and just make the best of whatever situation you've got.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's always been Woking, that's cool. Yeah. I haven't had any Woking fans on so far.
Well, you won't get any. Because there's about 1,000 of us, no, there's about 2,000, but There is no working fans.
Yeah.
There's no one from afar. No one from not working, sports woking.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's quite nice. Isn't that not quite nice?
Kind of, yeah.
You kind of find it really weird if there was...
We've got some Dutch supporters, but...
Oh, really?
And one Italian guy.
Big in the Netherlands.
He's really racist on our forum. But
what's his name?
Bobo. He's always racist on the forum. Everyone was like, oh, okay, Bobo, calm down, mate.
Is that the thing? He's on a forum. You don't know who it could be. Anyone that could like literally be.
People used to always mug him off for like having bad English when they realised he was just Italian.
Oh, that's amazing. You're big on the forums, so you.
I suppose I'm not because I'm dyslexic. I find it really hard to type. Yeah. In English,
and they think you're just a racist Italian.
Well, yeah, they think I'm a racist or just an idiot. So I always get, you know, I can't write. I can talk all right, but I can't write. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm a ghost in all these forums. I ghost and read.
Just keeping up with the news. Yeah, my mate's quite big on the Bristol Rovers forum.
Yeah,
and yeah, I think that's where a lot of action can go down. Like the Arsenal ones are just completely unmanageable. It's just people from
because there's so many people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like little sort of cults of like Arsene knows best. Arsene must go. And yeah. it's like Jeremy Corbyn or something. It's just completely impossible to manage. Yeah, like people are in camp. Those like.
There's little clicks on Woken's forums or some sort of clicks. And I go on this other one, which is a kind of broader conference forum.
Right.
But that's just turned into this big clicky-in club within jokes, and it's just, no one talks about football on that.
Really? Yeah, it's just talking about the forum.
Everyone just slags off, like, just everything on there. It's just, if you want to know about football, you don't go there. There's some forums I've been going on for about two... I don't know, for about 10 years probably.
Yeah.
Over 10 years.
Yeah.
Just silently, just watching.
Yeah, just taking it.
Fallouts. There was one guy who was a real wanker on one of this forum called I won't know, no one's gonna listen, but yeah, he was a real wanker on his forum, and he used to constantly troll people, then come back with different names. People would work out his like style of writing and be like, no, that's you. It's definitely you, mate. Stop it. And then he died.
Oh my god.
He actually died. And people were like, yeah, bullshit, he's trolling, again.
So they posted on the forum that he died.
No. Basically his son came on to the forum and said, I'm sorry. I know my dad uses forum a lot. I'm afraid my dad has died.
Jesus.
And sent them like an official thing saying where his funeral was being held, and he lived in Montreal in Canada, so
right, so you didn't go to his funeral.
No, but everyone was like visibly, well, not visibly, but
technologified
shocked. that's not a word.
Yeah, just like shocked face emojis.
Yeah, and someone was like, if this is a troll, this is the best troll ever.
Yeah, imagine if someone went out to a funeral in Montreal that just wasn't happening.
But people get really serious on this forum. Words like flounce, they flounce off.
What's that mean?
They just leave and like back. Everyone goes, oh, you're flouncing.
As if the real skill is just staying in there. With these bastards.
People basically, it's kind of 45-year-old men who have like got office jobs, who get really angry, and then go, no, I'm not on there anymore, goodbye.
Yeah. I'm not gonna flounce. Not flouncing off anytime soon. Oh man. Yeah, spoken about, like, because I've had loads of people on talking about different stuff, but yeah, no one's really touched on like forums and how the internet has fucking changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah. I guess there would not be another place to go for like woking news in the same way, I guess, because it's just not covered.
No, exactly. You wouldn't
BBC Sport. And,
well, you get them, the radio, BBC Radio.
Match reports.
Yeah, radio, sorry, sometimes put the radio on and stuff, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's really badly organised.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you don't really. It's. I mean, forums are basically pubs, really, aren't they? Just pubs, without the booze.
Except people are definitely boozing.
apart from the booze is just next to the keyboard.
Yeah,
because all these discussions would be happening if everyone sat down afterwards, which I do, of course. But if they sat down for hours afterwards and talked about everything,
exactly, and just didn't go home to their families,
yeah,
and just like, yeah, just had it out on a 24/7 basis.
Yeah.
Do you follow, are they working big on Twitter? Do they have like a Twitter presence?
I don't really go on Twitter that much.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure people really mouth off on Twitter or not. I think it's mostly forum on the forum.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess like you don't, because
it probably is a little bit. I know when it's like football violence, they sometimes tweet on there. But it's normally passers by going, "Oh, I saw loads of young lads kicking another young lad's head on
a
road somewhere." And then hashtag whatever, wanking,
hashtag violence. Yeah. And the players, are you like the players on there and stuff? Like
I think the players are on there, but I stick away. I don't really go on Twitter that much, and I find football players. Football players like if you could tick a box of the people I would hate in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from them being good at football, I hate all those type of people.
Yeah.
So I'd never even afterwards. Sometimes in watching games in the club bar, they'll come in the club bar,
mm-hmm.
and I'll make a point of not talking to them. And some of the fans try and talk to them. But I remember talking to one of them once, and him being such a tosser, I thought I'd never again.
Yeah.
Will I talk to a football player.
Yeah,
because you might like him on the field, you might be your hero on the field, but at the end of the day, a lot of football players are complete tossers.
Yeah, yeah, it would ruin it, wouldn't it?
It's just
never meet your hero sort of
exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
But also, you've got like a sort of 90% certainty that it's not like you're going to meet David Bowie and he's actually a dick. It's like, no, like Jack Wilshere, you can tell. Like, there's no point in talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, I love him on the pitch, but I don't really want to hold a conversation.
I talked to one, when I say talk, about 5-6 years ago, when we got relegated to the Conference South, and we were really angry, and we played Staines away.
Wow.
And Staines have just gone up a couple of divisions, we just went down.
Yeah.
It's basically we were playing in a leisure centre. It was the worst.
Oh my God.
A leisure centre with a pitch on the side.
Yeah.
It was so humiliating. We lost 3-0, and we went to the bar afterwards, and Harry Arter, who used to play for Woking, was in the bar. And me and my friend went up to him drunkenly and was like, "You need to play better, boy. You need to play better." And he looked so scared. And he was like, "Oh, okay, I will. And then 6 weeks later, he left. Joined Bournemouth. For like $4,000 on a tribunal. And now he plays in the fucking Premiership, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, if anything, he should have spoke to more players by the sounds of it. I mean, he's clearly taking your advice almost too far, really. You didn't want him to leave and go to the Premier League.
We didn't want him to leave, you just want him to try harder.
Yeah.
And he was a good player, and it proved.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, threatening players is always good.
Just keep him in line, you know.
He was a young lad, and we were a bit older than him, maybe. And we were in booze as well.
I never thought of that, the idea that you'd be letting him off, and he's not really older than him, yeah.
Mm.
But there you go. So, can you remember, like, your first experiences of playing football and playing football as a kid?
Playing football.
Like, were you in a school team? Did you play just in PE or anything? Or
I played football at school. I was always quite bad. I played a lot in my garden. I had my own goal.
Yeah,
in the garden.
Yeah.
We used to fall apart every time you kicked it against.
Yeah.
I would try and train my brother to be better than me.
The older brother, or younger brother.
So I'd be like, nurturing him.
Oh, great!
Like, trying to get him better, but he didn't listen.
Yeah, he wasn't having it.
I was never that good. I was good at shooting and passing.
Well, that's all you need.
Yeah,
that's...
but I wasn't good at I was bad at tackling.
Okay.
I was like Scholesy at tackling. Like,
right,
I would try, but I would always get late.
Yeah, I never got that with Scholes though, because he sort of got seen as like a romantic. Like, oh God, Scholes, he can't tackle. It's like, no, I think he could tackle. He just wanted to kick people.
Mm. I read an interview after he retired, and he said, "No, I was all right at tackling. I just wanted to get players sometimes."
and
I got such a reputation of being a bad tackler.
Yeah,
people
were
like, oh,
even refs were just like, oh, Scholes.
Oh, naughty Scholes. Yeah. Rianci was going, fuck you.
Exactly. Like, he's just built a career off that. It's just unreal. So you could pass, you could shoot. Like, you don't need to tackle. You could have just gone up front.
Through balls. I like through. I had no pace.
Okay.
Pace of a stone. I wasn't very good, really. I played for Send United.
What are they called?
Send. As you would send a letter. Yeah.
Okay.
Where we started to live. Send United. We played in yellow and green.
Yeah, I used to play in yellow and green. Yeah.
I played for about a season.
Yeah. What sort of age was this?
Like, oh, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I remember pretty much retiring when I got to like secondary school. What about 10 or 11? I was like, no, I've had enough.
Double figures in age.
Yeah,
but
11, I was like, you know what? I'm more interested in chips and sausages.
Yeah,
my playing days are over.
the football food is taken over. Like, that's the real level.
I was more into like management at that sort of stage.
So yeah, just not really getting the most on the pitch level, you know.
But I mean, I was always like, if I mucked around, I can always like, I'm one of those players where if I muck around on a football pitch, I can just have a shot. Someone will just pass it to me. I'll be ghosted for a whole game. No one even know I'm there. People get annoyed if I'm on the pitch, and then they'll pass it to me, and I'll just take it once. I'll just smack it into the top corner, and they'll be like, "Oh my Christ, how did he do that before he was shy?" Yeah, I am shy, but I can do that.
Element of surprise. That's all you need. That's really great. I wish I could have been that person. I wouldn't. I was that person who. Yeah, when they pass it to me, I didn't have the goods either. Like, rarely they even pass it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you could wheel, you know, in American team sports, often you have really quick substitutions.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just wheel me on to take a free kick.
Yeah, yeah. Like a set piece superstar.
Yeah, that'd be me. Yeah, it'd be great. But
yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's a bit more tough. It's a bit more harder lines, really. So you gave up playing football at quite a young age. Why? What happened? Just the food?
Food. A canteen. I didn't get packed lunch anymore for my mum, and I just got £2 from my mum to go and buy whatever I wanted, which normally meant chips. More chips.
That's freedom.
Ice buns and cherry coke. So I was really packing them in. put a bit of weight on over school period, and just became a plump lad. Actually, I still am quite plump now, to be honest. But
there's not much time for football, you know. We've got all that to do. So
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I didn't learn anything either at school. I was very unacademic. Basically, my school record reads. He attended school. And he came.
Yeah, well, that's
because I was not intelligent.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't academic. I was one of the bottom sets. I was bad at sports.
Yeah.
And I didn't join any clubs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just kept the canteen going, to be honest. If anything, I should have got shares of the canteen afterwards.
Keep these dinner ladies working and honest living. That's beautiful, really. I mean, no one else was doing that. So you're just, like on the pitch, you're just ghosting through school. You give me that exam paper and one day, oh boy.
Yeah.
Right, favourite player growing up? Was there anyone that you saw, like, you'd model your playing style on? You'd be like, I'm a bit...
Even though I didn't support a Premiership side, I liked kind of like hard men midfielders. So I'd always watch Premiership. I always watch Match of the Day.
Yeah.
I liked Dennis Wise.
Yeah.
As a grown up, I thought he was quite a good player.
Yeah. Wind up merchant as well.
Yeah, a little wind up little prick and could pass. And he could shot on him as well.
Yeah. There's skill in that, I think.
Like Vinnie Jones was a bit too much. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of someone who because it's only until you get older you kind of realise how good certain players are.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Wayne Rooney, even though people kind of like layer off Wayne Rooney for being going about his looks and this and that. When he came on, when he started playing football for Everton, he was the same age as me.
Right.
He was like 17. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt like a buzz before about a football player than I have about when Wayne Rooney started playing football for Everton. The first couple of games he played.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my Christ. Because he would just drift past three or four players and he was bullish and he would just like push players off the ball. And he played basically like a really good school kid.
Mm.
And I'd never seen that before and that really excited me. And so Wayne Rooney is probably my, even though it came later on.
Yeah, yeah, that was the sort of.
So he, now he's kind of like on the wane a bit. But, and also his game's been kind of, if you watch him early doors from his early career, he's raw as fuck. He's like, he's like a bull in a china shop. He's great. When Euro 2004, he was just a monster.
That was,
and
yeah,
it's all been trained out of him now. He's very restricted in what he does.
Well, yeah, he went to like I remember his goal against Arsenal, the famous one for Everton. Like I remember hearing that on the radio where I was, and just like even then, everyone knew that was big.
And that was Seaman's kind of one of last Seaman's games.
Well, his last season certainly,
because it was like a 16-year-old kid gets the ball to smash it past England goalkeeper. You think, okay, we've got a player here.
And he scored. I've seen him score countless goals against Arsenal in the flesh as well. Like he's just every time you just know it's, even if he's just not, he hasn't really started his season. You know, he's not, he's been injured all season. He just comes on goal like Arsenal every single time. So I'm trying to think, because I'm building a team here. I don't know if you know this. Like this is what the big project has been. I'm trying to think. I've got 10 players now because you're the 11th person in. And I'm just trying to think where you're going to fit into this team. I'm going to run you through the players who I've got. And you know, it's up to you really to help decide the formation, because it depends on where you go, where it's going to work out, if that makes any sense at all. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I mean, I'd rather be in midfield, but I assume, as you interview quite a lot of fat comedians, and most of them want to be in central midfield.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well.
But I mean, if you can't put me in central midfield, I'm more of a defensive midfielder. You can stroke it around, you know.
Yeah.
Like a fat Pirlo, you know.
Yeah.
Like Pirlo, but with a bit of bite in him.
Yeah.
And, but if I can't get into the team, then just put me as management. Put
that's
me as motivator.
That's your job.
Okay.
What I got to do. I got to.
I wouldn't be able to do any of your job apart from midfield, I'd say.
Okay. Well, at the moment we've got a left back going spare. No one wants to go left back. I don't think you want to go left back. I'm not going to put you at left back.
If I go left back, the other team we play, which we're never going to play a team.
Well, he might play the team of Series 2.
I will get absolutely fucked. They will target me and destroy me. Unless I lose 4 stone away. And get a new set of lungs.
Oh, okay, well, okay. I won't.
You can stick me in if you want to, but it'd be a mistake.
I want you to be comfortable. I'm going to go through what we have, and then maybe that'll help you decide. Because it's up to you, really, where you want to go. That's how it works. We've got Darren Coles in goal.
That's fine.
Thoughts on this? Yeah, fine. Okay. We've got Sarah Breeze at right back.
Yeah, she's a utility player. She can play anywhere.
Okay. We've got Dan Kiss and Matt Rowe at centre-back.
Matt Rowe's big. Dan Kiss, I don't know if he can play football or not. He's quite tall, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fairly tall.
He can play left-back, though.
Yeah? You shuffle him along? I don't know whether to... if he's had his say on this or not, though.
Okay, well...
It's controversial.
I really don't give a fuck, so...
Okay. James Dunn explicitly said he wanted to play in the Pirlo role.
See, I think I'd be better at football than James Dunn. James Dunn's got too much hair.
But Pirlo's got a lot of
hair. He's got skin condition as well, and that might affect his play.
We can't not have him in the team because he's got skin.
Nah, he's got skin. You don't want to give it to everyone else in the team.
So where should we put James Dunn?
I don't want it's subs bench.
Oh.
I don't know, team doctor. I'm not a doctor, leave him out. What about like pitch management, mowing the lawns and stuff?
You trust him with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy machinery.
Putting the corner flags in.
Yeah, sprinkles. That sort of stuff. Yeah.
Sprinklers. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll.
You can wash all the players' cars while they're playing.
I'm sure he'd be delighted with that role. I'm sure he'd love that. But at the moment, he's a DM. That's where he is.
Oh, well.
He's sitting there right now, as it stands. Ahead of him, we've sort of got a diamond formation going at the moment. So we got Chris Chopping and Liam Schuetz.
Chris Chopping cannot play football again.
But he's next to Liam Schuetz.
He's got flappy, weird hair. He's got a hair like a wave.
He's a flair player.
He is not a flair player.
He is. He's got a bit of trickery, I reckon.
No. Chris Chopping does not... Not the first word to come to mind is not flair when it comes to Chris Chopping.
What is it?
Man. Civil servant. I don't know. Like,
that's enough.
No, he's a nice guy. I love Chris, but he's not a football player.
Okay.
And he wouldn't get my team over.
No? Well, I've got limited people to choose from, really.
I would get him to do tactics, if anything.
Chopping?
Yeah, tactics. He's a bright boy.
Yeah. Do you think you could just be a bright boy? Is that all you need to be a good tactician?
Yeah.
He doesn't know the game. Doesn't know the game like
yeah, but he's the sort of guy who would learn the game if you told him to. You'd say, look, here's a book on football. Learn it on a weekend and come back.
You'd have it down.
Yeah, and he'd be like, right.
Well, that's good. Maybe, you know, you can be giving tactical advice from centre midfield. You know, Liam's there to protect him and just sort of...
I don't know whether Liam shouldn't be on the pitch. He's too volatile. He'll be sent off within 4 minutes.
Yeah, that could be true. That's possible. We got just ahead of them, we got Jamie McGowan in the attacking midfield role.
He's actually a good player, McGowan. Even though he's a portly lad like myself, I saw him play... few years ago, Comedians Football, and he was quite pretty good.
Yeah,
he's got good feet on him.
That's good. Yeah,
nimble,
nimble, sweet feet.
Nimble.
And yeah, up top then we've got a little and large pairing. We've got Matt Lee and Jethro Bradley.
See, I don't know how they're gonna play.
Yeah,
can I mean,
any idea on Jethro?
Jethro looks like he could be a good player.
He does, doesn't he?
Like, I mean, but then again, anyone can look like a good player. Peter Beardsley, if you looked at him, you'd think, nah. You'd think like caretaker, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You'd think caretaker, works at like a petrol station at night.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think professional football player.
No, I think that's fair enough.
So you don't know.
But Jethro, you know, he could be the face of a sort of social media savvy club who needs to sell shirts, I think. I could see Jethro being plastered.
Why not?
Posters. Yeah. So you've got there. So you want to be in midfield?
I prefer, if I was going to, I mean, I don't have to be put in there, but
you do, mate. You do.
In terms of like motivational skills,
yeah,
and through balls and passing, just ticking it over.
Yeah.
I'd probably be getting rid of James and put me in there.
What if we put you alongside James Dunn and? Yeah, I don't know. But then we got two DMs, two centre midfielders. Doesn't maybe three centre midfielders? Would you go ahead of James Dunn? Just Dunn sort of sweeping up behind you all.
Yeah, if you want, so you can tackle better than me, maybe, I don't know.
Alright, I think I'm going to put you in there, mate. I'm going to put you in centre midfield. Completing the team.
I mean, this is a bad side.
We should see the next one. These are all the first picks. But yeah, okay, we've got no left back, so I think that means Sarah Breeze is going to have to go centre back now.
Oh, come on,
three centre back. What are we going to do?
She's too small for a centre back.
Yeah.
Get Liam to centre back. Also, Sarah Breeze is quite a good player. She could be buzzing around.
Yeah.
So you could put her in midfield somewhere and one wing. Well,
then we only got two defenders. What sort of team is this?
I'm getting confused of what the formation is now.
Well, yeah, we've got three at the back at the moment. That's the thing. If you
stick me in midfield.
Yeah, if we sit you in midfield, we've got three at the back. We've got 3-5-2 going on.
Well, I don't care anymore. Just stick me anywhere. If you put me in left back, I'll just drift into centre of the field and kick Donna outwards anyway.
Oh, that's where I'm putting you then.
So I'll pretend I'll go there.
All right, cool.
And then halfway through, I'll just go, Donna, you better go around the other side, mate.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll put you in, left back, but a free roll. So you can take...
A left back, which is basically defensive midfield left back.
Yeah. I mean, if you can shout at Harry Arter and tell him to play better, I'm sure you could get James Dunn to play left back for a bit.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. Okay, I want to talk about you supporting England as well.
Yeah, I'm a big England fan.
Am I right in thinking you followed them?
I've been abroad to watch England play. When did I go? I went to the 2006 World Cup. No, 2006.
There was one. There wasn't that one, though. Germany.
Germany.
Yeah.
06.
Yeah.
And that was... I went out there and had fun. I was a young lad. Did a lot of kind of pillaging and...
Yeah.
Throwing of bottles and stuff like that. It was kind of that sort of gambit, really. But just, that sort of thing we do when you're young, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just be a bit of a wanker in a foreign country.
Yeah. So you in with like the sort of hardcore England fans? Is that fair to say?
Not really. I didn't even get into we didn't even anything too bad. But we stole everything pretty much when we went out. We didn't buy much basically.
Right. Okay.
and we just kind of Vikings. We were basically Vikings with a car.
Right, okay.
For a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It was kind of mayhem over there, but it was good fun. It was the sort of thing you do when you're young, but it was I got pepper spray actually.
Really?
By a copper.
What
I did. I was literally doing nothing. I was with my mate in this central square.
Yeah.
In Cologne, I think it was, and there was. I think basically the police. After a while, they just want people to get out of the square. It was probably like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And there were some England fans climbing up this huge statue and singing. And, you see all that stuff on the TV and stuff. And I was just sitting there, I was just standing with my friend drinking, and all of a sudden, these cops are running towards us and just spraying us with this gas.
Jesus.
And we were like, ah! And run off.
Yeah.
And I lost all my mates and ran down some alleyway, and just coughing up everywhere. But I managed to get into a cafe, I think. And, That was that.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
It wasn't that bad out there. I did see some big fights, but I didn't really.
Yeah,
I wasn't really involved in much.
Yeah.
I was more in there for the booze, really.
Yeah,
a bit like in the Euros just now. It seemed to go off quite badly out there, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah, there was a lot of the group stages, especially with
Russia. Like, the problem with England is that I would say 70% of people who go and support England away. mm-hmm. want to fight
people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, the same people that go every
yeah, time. Yeah, not all of them are football hooligans, but half of them are just like louts, like lads.
Yeah.
And their idea is to go abroad, drink loads of booze and punch people in the face.
Yeah.
And it's just that's what it is, really. Like, there's a percentage of people that don't do that, but then there's a lot of them that just kind of... just as it's a jolly up. I mean, you look at Ibiza and like, you know, people go mental out there. You look at those horrible programs and people in the street going, ah! It's kind of like that, but you know.
Yeah, but with an event to all go to.
Yeah, with a weird event. I mean, you do get, there are obviously football firms out there with all sizing each other up. And when I went out there, they would start to fight each other sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, that must happen. Cause
yeah, like, I remember seeing Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday fighting each other.
Jeez.
And some Leeds try to start on us. And we told them to fuck off.
As
and,
you do.
And they were like, hey, you're Chelsea, are you? You're Chelsea. I'm like, no, mate. We're England. You're Chelsea, aren't you? You're Chelsea. Fuck off. Go on. Fuck you. Off you go, you 50-year-old man. Fuck off.
Oh, man.
But, Leeds are a weird bunch. They always seem to try and fight everyone.
Yeah, Leeds hate everyone as well, like, seemingly.
But, like, a good thing about watching England play is you do meet loads of people from all over the country.
Yeah.
Generally, they're nice. And you get friends as well. Like, you meet fans from, like, all sorts of clubs, you know, and you become friends with them. Became friends with some guys from Luton, some guys from Barnsley.
People you're not going to meet.
Plymouth, you know, all sorts of... Yeah, you never meet them normally. Yeah. And so that was nice. But you get people just trying to kick your head in as well.
Peaks and troughs, I guess. Yeah, I've been to a few, like, Arsenal away games in Europe, and, like, it's just a different vibe. It feels like England abroad, and it's just...
Yeah.
I think people are up for it. And
the problem with England fans abroad is that I don't think Britain really notice, or Britain doesn't really know, that when England go abroad, we are hated by Europe. We are the scum of Europe.
Yeah, completely.
And I find that kind of like that in a weird way. I find it funny.
Yeah.
I find it kind of like noble that we are scum of Europe. I think like we're such pricks. We're such obnoxious wankers, but they hate us. Every single country hates us. There's something beautiful about that. But it's also quite annoying as well if you're just trying to have a nice time out there.
Yeah.
And you go to a restaurant and they're like, you know.
And what was really annoyed me was when Wales finally got into a tournament and went over to France and were just sort of lauded for their polite behaviour and how being different from England. I just wanted one Wales fan to completely ruin it by like doing shit off the Eiffel Tower or something and just completely like spoiling the entire Welsh reputation. So they went over there and like England and Russia were fighting and it was like, oh, look, a terrible England fans. And then Wales were just like these polite guys. Like, no, you don't want to be those guys. You don't want to be the nice, friendly.
Well, yeah, like, I think even in Wales would have some nutcases as well. I mean, Cardiff City have got
Yeah,
1,000 people banned. So it was Swansea as well. But
I'm
friends with I went drinking with a Newport hooligan, and he said Swansea and Cardiff and Newport, they don't go to only Cardiff go to Wales games.
That's interesting.
Because if they see the other two, they'll fight them.
Right. And so Cardiff
have got bigger numbers, so they're always
right, and they're closer. Yeah,
So like. I remember going to watch England qualifier in Cardiff, England, Wales, probably about 5 years ago now.
Yeah, I remember.
And I've never seen anything like it where all the England fans were down one road, down where kind of just one road in town, I can't remember the name of it now.
Yeah.
Belfield Road, maybe.
Okay.
Might be wrong. Where kind of like Oceania is running up. They all cornered down there. And then when Swansea came in through the station, they got escorted through the Welsh fans,
right,
all the way to Pulse, that gay bar in town.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen this is an international match. Swansea getting escorted all the way through their own country through to another bar because Cardiff and Welsh fans were going and England fans were going on the other side.
Yeah,
so there was three, basically they had to kind of contain three different groups.
That's really bizarre. That's like Wales and England being united and hating Swansea.
It was weird. It was really strange.
That's really peculiar.
Yeah,
because they have stuff like bubble matches, don't they? Like Swansea v Cardiff, like you essentially can't have a drink. Like you need to just
I mean, I think they've had so much trouble over the years. I can't handle. I've never been to one of those games. I just look at it.
Well, that was another one, like, because I'm from Swansea, and that was another one where people who weren't into football would suddenly be like, oh yeah, I'll go to Swansea Cardiff, like, just for a fight, and like, because it's an event, like, I don't know. I think a lot of it is like the hype of it as well, and people like...
It's that sort of town rivalship, isn't it? Like, that sort of town rivalry. Yeah. I don't know why Swans in Cardiff. I don't know the history of why Swans in Cardiff age. Probably to the mines, is it? I don't know. Ports, is it?
Something like that.
And I mean, doing that weird swimming motion as well. I don't really understand what that.
Something about. I don't actually know the full story, but it's something about Cardiff famously. I don't know whether it was Cardiff football team or people famously swimming out of Swansea Bay when Swansea wanted to fight them.
Like jumping into the sea or something.
Yeah. That's why they hate each other. We've all learned something here.
God bless them.
Yeah. But I think like that's the only way football works is if loads of people hate each other. Like
I like that. I like the fact that people. I like to be abused by people from another football team. I like someone to call me a cunt from from a bar. I like someone on a Saturday afternoon give me a wanker sign who I don't know.
Yeah.
Who I might actually like.
Yeah.
But for 90 minutes we hate each other.
Absolutely. It's so much, that's so important. Like I like looking at the away fans and just going like every one of you, I hate you all. And like you might be perfectly reasonable people working, you know, high power jobs for families, but none today.
I remember very clearly when I was about 14, 15, I went to Aldershot away. Like a big, there's a big derby game. Maybe a bit older. Maybe I was 16, and I remember seeing this old guy who's probably in his late 40s, sunglasses on, really close to the barrier, and him pointing at me, and going.
for the listener, he did a cutthroat motion.
Yeah, and it kind of scared me a little bit, but also I was like, I kind of understand football more now.
Yeah, this is
something beautiful about that in a strange way.
Yeah, I've said this on the podcast before, but there's like I think the most cutting football chant I've ever heard in my life really explained what football is to me, and it was Arsenal fans, believe it or not, singing it to Charlton fans, and they were singing, "You are Charlton, you are Charlton. No one hates you, no one cares." And it's like, and they have nothing. Like, how do you come back from that?
No, you can't. Like, it's just the dull club, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, but that's, people just want to be involved. And like, Charlton fans were just, you know.
There's some really cutting football chants that really wind people up as well.
Yeah.
Woking's had some incredible ones over the years. We used to, because Woking is Surrey, it's kind of a commuter belt. But Woking's a bit of a shit over town, but it's generally like, Surrey is a lovely area.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of kind of like pro Thatcher songs at people, like people saying, "Prospered under Thatcher, prospered under Thatcher, prospered under Thatcher, clap your hands." And then people, just the northern side generally, when anyone really above London, they would do that too. And they would just do lots of like, get they would just get kind of like notes up and just wave them in the face.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Everyone like this. Yeah, what Liverpool are always taunted with is sign on. Yeah, just classic. Yeah, just relating it to the economy. That's what a good football chant should do.
Mm.
Yeah, all right. We need to clear a few things up before we finish off. So we've got some quick fire questions. It's like two of them. Halftime oranges, yes or no?
Yes, why not?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure they still do that.
Yeah, I think some clubs.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a food and a drink.
You can't argue with that. Yeah, that's a perfectly good explanation.
Yeah.
James Dunn brought in another suggestion, which has caused a lot of controversy, and you need to settle this once and for all because people have been arguing, this have been infighting. Halftime oranges or halftime Jaffa cakes?
Oh, fuck off! It's half time fucking oranges. Right, Jaffa cakes.
Thank God. So we can put that to rest now. Because, you just threw that spanner in the works in episode one. And it's just caused all manner of hurt. So I'm glad you've cleared that up for me. Okay. That's good. So there's one more thing. The current captain of this team that we're running through is Jamie McGowan. Why should you be captain instead of him? Why should you be captain
because
of this team?
No, for me, no front man should be a captain. He's a front man.
Well, he's in the hole. You know, he's in the attacking midfield sort of. Still,
I don't know. I think for me, a captain needs to be either a defender or a defensive midfielder.
Okay, and you're going to be one of those two things, depending on where James Dunn goes when you chat with him.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I think that Jamie will want to score goals, and I think that the only captain I remember who was a striker was Shearer.
Yeah.
And Shearer was also a bellend. And I can think of so many other better midfielders who were. Captains.
Like Gary Speed.
Gary Speed.
Yeah.
Dennis Boyce.
Vieira.
Yeah. I mean, there's more, but I can't remember anyone. Gerrard
was a captain.
Beckham, he's midfielder, but he wasn't.
Okay.
Adams.
Yeah.
Keown. John Terry, a bit of a wanker, but he was still a good captain.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I think you've convinced me. I think, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're now captain of the team. All right. I think we're going to go out and celebrate now.
Thank you.
Cool, and that's pretty much it.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Charlie Webster, and that was Ball Tales, guys. It's over. Season one is done. We have a complete team. Thanks so much for listening. If this is the first one you've listened to, then there are 10 more to get your ears down. You can get them on iTunes. Leave a review if you want. I'm not asking for money. I'm just asking for unconditional praise. Thanks to everyone who's taken part in the show. Here we go. Eccentric goalie, Darren J. Coles. Roaming left back, Charlie Webster. Faux linesman right back, Sarah Breeze. A Rock and a Hard Place, Matt Trowe and Dan Kiss. James the Jaffa Cake, Pearl O'Dunn. The French-faced Liam Schuitz. The Thinking Man's Chris Chopping. Jamie the Tank McGowan and Little and Large. Jethro Bradley and Matt Lee. One take that was. I want that for the record. Thanks all of you for listening. Really appreciate the support and hope you've enjoyed them. If there's a series two, you'll be the first to know. I've been Cameron Loxdale. Until next time, bye-bye.